الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد we are requested to remind ourselves on Salah, Fiqhul Salah. That is Islamic ruling regarding divorce. This matter is one that many people engage in, but very, very few people know about its ruling. Whether those to whom it has happened or those that has not, to whom it has never happened at all. So you find that many Muslims divorce their wives not following the Islamically laid down principle or procedure to give divorce. Unfortunately, many of us, you find them in law court, customary court, that they will say in Yoruba, one jawe fun, which would mean that they divorce the woman. But these customary courts are courts that are based on the laws of shirk. Customary courts are courts that are based on shirk, belief, and concept. So they are Muslims. He is Rizqa, he is Basira, he is Ibrahim, he is Abdul Hakim, he is Abdul Rashid. But they are the ones you find in the court of shirk where they carry out the divorce between themselves. So this is because many of the Muslims have decided that they don't want to know about Salah. They don't want to learn about Salah. They don't want to learn about divorce. Unfortunately, this is something that is happening. It's like somebody saying he does not want to travel, but he still has to travel. And many other things that happen to us in life. There are many things we do not like, but they happen to us. So when they happen to us, we have to learn what are the rulings of Sharia regarding those things. Of course, you should have learned them before they happen. So if you don't learn them before they happen, when those things happen, you will not know what to do and how to do it. So you find a lot of Muslims going to customary courts to seek divorce and divorce their wives. And this is prohibited in the Sharia. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ وقد أمروا أن يكفروا به ويريد الشيطان أن يضلهم ضلالا بعيدا. But do you not see those who claim that they believe in what has been revealed to you, Muhammad? Allah said, يريدون أن يتحاكموا إلى الطاغوت. They desire to seek redress, to seek judgment from other than Allah. وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَن يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ. And they had been ordered to disbelieve in those systems. So وَيُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُضِلَّهُمْ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. The reason why they do that is that Iblis wants to mislead them, take them far away from the realities of their deen. So if you look down that portion of the Quran, if you look at that portion of the Quran, very lengthy, there are beneficial statements about that. So because in the end, Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. I swear by your Lord, O Muhammad, they truly do not believe. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Until they make you, Muhammad, the law, the one who educates in whatever comes between them. I'm just trying to say, brothers and sisters, that because people have decided that they don't want to learn about Salah, they end up giving talaq in institutions that the Sharia does not recognize. And some people would have considered their wives divorced while actually they are still their wives when you look at the matter from the angles of the Sharia. There are a lot of cases you will hear that a man and the wife, they have separated. After 2-3 years, they come back and marry. Perhaps they have divorced themselves in such a way that they cannot come back except that woman had married another husband. Perhaps they have divorced themselves in a way that the man only needs to go back and take his wife. If the talaq is rajia and she is still under the period where he can take her back, and all of this. But because they have decided not to learn about talaq, not to know about talaq, not to have anything to do with it, when they find themselves in a situation, they either do it badly or they go to the wrong places to seek talaq. The consequences of this are very many. Because private organs will be made halal for each other or haram for each other in means that are not legal in the Sharia. So a man will be living with a woman that is not likely his wife, or a woman would have been separated from a woman that should have ordinarily still continue to be his wife. So it is very appropriate, brothers, that we learn what is talaq, how is talaq, who gives talaq, when can it be given, and all of this. So we start with talaq. What does it mean? Talaq is hillul wasa'id. Legally, linguistically, it means to untie something. When you untie something at laqta, you untie, you set it free. And in the Sharia, it means hallu qaydi nikah, to untie the qayd. Qayd is a tie, something that is tied. When you make hal of a qayd, you untie. So talaq is to untie marital tie. You tie, you untie. The marital knot, untying it. That is the meaning of talaq in the Sharia. The second thing we talk about, what is its ruling in the Sharia? The basic ruling of talaq in the Sharia is mubah. Mubah. Allowed. Al-Imam ibn Qudam al-Maqdisi in Al-Mughni was explaining why should talaq be mubah? Why should it be allowed? He said talaq must be allowed, must be something that must be allowed in the Sharia. Because the problems that will arise between a man and his wife, such that he will not be able to stay with her, and she will not be able to stay with him, necessitates, as a result of marriage, necessitates that something should take away that marriage. The difficulties. In fact, in some situations, you find that a man is divorcing the wife for the first time. She's supposed to have a 3-month period of iddah in his house. But because of the difficulty, the problems that arose in the nikah and how it ended, she will not even be able to stay those 3 months with him. He had decided, I don't want her again. She has also decided, I don't want him again. But she will not be able to stay there. If talaq is not allowed, it means that problem should subsist. And the Sharia is not like that. It has to remove that problem. So that's why from the text of the Quran, from the text of the hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and from the consensus of the Muslims, talaq is something that is permissible in the Sharia. What that would mean, brothers and sisters, is that talaq in itself is not something that pains a person that divorces when he has to divorce. We said the other time, troubles, they can't resolve it. A man and a woman, they tried all possible means, it's not working. All of what we had discussed in the shoes and all of that, it can't work. The marriage just has to be severed. It's not working. So, if man divorces to seek goodness for himself, the woman also divorces to seek goodness for himself, for herself. So that is the reason why talaq in itself is not a blame. A man divorces does not mean that he's a bad person. And that a woman becomes divorced does not mean that she's a bad person. This is what we are trying to say. And there are verses in the Quran and statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that evince this. In Surah Al-Talaq, the chapter of Talaq, it is usually called Surah Al-Talaq Al-Kubra, because the ulama say there are two surahs of Talaq in the Quran, Al-Kubra and Al-Kubra. Al-Kubra is Surah Al-Nisa, and Al-Kubra is Surah Al-Talaq that we know as Surah Al-Talaq. At the beginning of that chapter, Allah said, Ya ayyuha al-Nabi, إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ. You say, Oh Messenger of Allah, Oh you Prophet, إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ, when all of you Muslims want to divorce a woman, فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ, divorce them in the period of their iddah. We'll come back to that. What I want to infer from this is that the ulama say that if salat in itself is something that is bad, Allah will not sanction it by saying, Ya ayyuha an-nabi. Do we understand? If divorce in itself is something that pains a man that divorces, or a woman that is divorced, do we understand? Allah would not have started by saying, Oh my Prophet. He's talking about something that is saying, he won't call the Prophet's name. Alayhi salatu wasalam. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, idha nakahtumu al-mu'minat, thumma talaqtumuhunna min qabli an tamassuhunna. He says, Oh you who believe, idha nakahtumu al-mu'minat, if you marry believing women, you can. Believing men, Ya ayyuha allazina amanu, idha nakahtumu al-mu'minat, if you marry believing women. So he's talking about mu'minun, mu'minat, mu'minat. He now says, summa, thereafter, after the marriage, talaqtumuhunna, you divorce them. Ulama Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di in Tafsir al-Karim al-Rahman, he said, if talaq in itself is a thing, he will not say, al-mu'minun, and al-mu'minat. So the basic ruling regarding salat is that it is permissible, it is allowed, because it is removal of evil. The man wants to ease himself, and the woman wants to also find ease for herself. The second thing about that we'd like to mention is that this is the basic ruling of salat. But salat could also be wajib. It could also be mandu. Of course, its basic ruling is ibaha. It can also be makruh, and salat can also be haram, depending on the circumstance. We said its basic ruling is ibaha, mubah, allowed. So it can be wajib, it can be mandu, it can be, of course, we say it is basically mubah. It can be makruh, or it can be what? Haram. When a woman is divorced, for example, we talked about, we want to start explaining them one after the other. In what circumstance will it be obligatory that a man must divorce his wife? The ulama gave many instances. Imam al-Nawawi, in his Sharh of Sahih Muslim, was giving some instances. Others too, like Imam ibn Qudama and his al-Bughni, he gave instances too. But for example, when there is nushuz, look at this marital discord, such that, as we explained in the morning, the man and the woman can't cope, and they resolve and tried and tried. We said if the nushuz, the discord is between, is coming from the man and then from the woman, that they are to raise two arbitrators. That Allah says, أَبْعَثُ حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا, that we raise an arbiter from her family and another arbiter from the family of the man. These two arbiters in the Sharia, after they have resolved the marriage, the matter, the discord, discussed it, found out, they come to agree, the two of them, from the family of the woman and from the family of the man, come to agree that no, the best thing for this man and the best thing for this woman is that this marriage be dissolved, by obligation, the marriage must be dissolved. Another instance that's given. A man is not giving, in fact, he's not sending, giving the woman the right of maintenance. The woman has the right to be fed, to be clothed, to be accommodated, and all of this. And she reports the case to the judges, to the authority. And they found out, after the circuit, that this man is not actually giving this woman what to which she is due. And the court finds it that, look, what is appropriate is that the man should allow this woman go. It becomes obligatory for the man to divorce that woman. If he does not divorce her, the court will force him to divorce her. So there are cases like this, wherein talaq will be obligatory on the man that he divorces the woman. There's also the case of iddah. When a man abandons his wife, he's not dealing with her nicely, he's not relating with her, he's not talking to her, he just abandons her. For months, 1, 2, 3 months, at the end of the first month, this woman will report the case and it will be investigated by the authority, he will be invited. So he will be made to either take her back or divorce her. If he says, no, I don't want to take her back, at the end of that first month, he must divorce her, even if he's not taking her back. Divorcing that woman at the end of 4 months of abandonment is a matter of what? Obligation. If he does not divorce her, the authority will compel him to divorce her. These are the kind of situations where talaq could be what? Wajib. We said talaq could also be mandu. It could also be recommended. Ulama al-Imam al-Nawawi said, rahimahullah, that talaq could be recommended in a case where the woman is gairu afifa, that is a woman who perhaps commits zina with others. Or he just finds that she does not have what it takes. You see, when you say a woman commits zina, you must be able to prove it. Because we are discussing talaq, separation. If a man comes and says, I want to clarify it, if a man comes and says his wife committed zina in the Sharia, he must be able to provide 4 witnesses. If he's not able to provide 4 witnesses, as one of the companions asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that are you saying, O Messenger of Allah, this man found a man committing zina with his wife? So he went to report the case to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet told him that where are the 4 witnesses? He said, O Messenger of Allah, are you saying that if a man finds another man on his wife, he will start going to look for 4 witnesses? So the Prophet said, if you don't provide evidence, those 4 witnesses, you will receive the lashing, 80 strokes of the king, that you are accusing the woman of zina or falsely. So he has the alternative of either providing 4 witnesses or being flogged for what? Thugs. That is called thugs. Falsely accusing a woman that she has committed zina. You must provide 4 witnesses who saw it. Not that they saw the man and the woman coming out from the room. No. They saw a man like this, having his organs in that of the woman like this. 4. If you can't do that, he will be flogged 80 strokes. The man said to the Prophet Muhammad, Allah will reveal a verse to vouchsafe me. See the companion? He said, O Messenger of Allah will soon make you know that I was right. So Allah revealed the verse of Li'an. That is the mutual swearing. We will not have to go to Li'an again. The man was made at that time to swear by Allah 4 times. And in the 5th time, those verses are in Surah An-Nur. If we start reading them and trying to explain them one after the other, we will not go away. That's why I didn't go to them. The man will swear 4 times. And in the 5th time, she will say that he will say that the woe of Allah be upon him if he's lying. You say, by Allah, I saw my wife being so and so. The man will say that. I swear by Allah, 2. I swear by Allah, I saw her. I swear by Allah, I saw her. 3. I swear by Allah, I saw her. In the 1st time, he will say, I swear by Allah, I saw her. If I'm lying, may the woe of Allah be upon me. The man will do that and go. The woman will be brought. she will say the same thing. I swear by Allah, I did not do it. I swear by Allah, I did not do it. I swear by Allah, I did not do it. 3, 4. I swear by Allah, I did not do it. In the 5th time, she will say, I swear by Allah, I did not do it. If I did it, may the curse of Allah be upon me. In the time of the Prophet, there was a case like this. The woman was actually seen, and she actually did it. Abdullah ibn Abbas reported the hadith. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. So when that woman was going to swear a 5th time, the companions went to her. He said, fear Allah. If you swear this 5th time, Allah will curse you. Don't swear if you have actually done it. The punishment of this world is smaller than that of the hereafter. Don't swear. She said something. She said, if I did not swear now, I would have brought disgrace to my family forever. So she swore a 6th time. So by that, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, but go and look at that woman and look at the child she's going to have. If the child is like this, like this, like this, then you should know that it is the child of so-and-so, and not the man who is her husband. They said when the woman gave birth to that child, it was as the Prophet described it, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that were it not that it was the ruling according to Allah's book, I would have had something to do with her. That is, you would have dealt with that woman, alayhi salam. Because it was clear. She said she was not going to put her family to shame. That was the only reason why she was saying. In it all, the Prophet had to separate the marriage. That is one of the things that happen when li'an takes place. When a man now swears in the opposite, the woman also swears in the opposite that she didn't do it, then the marriage is dissolved. The marriage is dissolved. So one of the cases, the man was asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what about the mahar that he had given her when he married her, but he was prevented from taking back his mahar. All we are trying to say, brothers, is that, but if a man now finds that his wife is not Hafifa, he is not accusing her that she committed zina, because he's afraid of tongues. But he has in his mind that this woman is not doing the right thing. She has doubtful movements. It is recommended that he divorces the woman. So when he is feeling that the woman does not have, you know, a straightforward movement about her character and relations with men, this woman is somehow, really, even when he's not able to say that this woman has committed indecency. Because if he said it, he is calling on Li'an, or cause for himself. Cause is that he's beating 80 strokes of the cane if he's not able to provide evidence. All we are saying, let's come back, is that talaq could also be what? Mandu. It could be recommended. The third ruling of talaq is mubah. We mentioned that it is allowed. For example, when a woman is very insulted to her husband, when a woman is, the husband is not finding her suitable, he invites her to bed, no, I don't want, and all of this. Or in cases when women, and this is common today, brothers, when a woman has demands that are too high for the man can only afford what he gives to her. He said, بِيُنْفِكُ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِّن سَعَتِهِ وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِكْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ. He said, لِيُنْفِكُ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِّن سَعَتِهِ, the man that Allah has enriched, let them spend from what with which Allah has enriched them. وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ, those that Allah has only given them a little from arzak, they only have little from their wealth. فَلْيُنْفِكْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ, let them give, let them spend from that Allah has given to them. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا, he has not placed upon any soul إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا, except what that soul has brought upon itself. What did he say? سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. Allah will bring ease after difficulty. This more easier is for women, basically. So when the men give from what they have, if they have a lot, they give a lot. If they have a little, they are giving a little, and you want a lot. You want this man to bring takalluf upon himself? You want him to steal? I've seen somebody who said that to her husband. The husband is like dead now. May Allah forgive the man. She said to him, the son told me, that their mother said to their father, that even if your mates are stealing, go and steal and bring the money. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا ما آتاها. Allah has not burdened that man to do that. So when a woman is insistent like this, bringing difficulty of expenses upon the man, it is easy, it is permissible for him to say, okay, he either gives her takhir, like the Prophet did to his wife, radiallahu anhu, you have a choice, or he divorces her. Don't give me a problem. I was being told of a situation of a brother and the wife. The brother now has bad things because he has to exercise more, he has to do more work so that they could get more money to take care of the house. How many brothers are here? I'm sorry, but that is a fact. Who want to marry? But when they say, sister, you know, where are you living? How many bedrooms? What car are you using? You can't have the car. Say, inshallah, we are sitting right now. Please go and look at another. For how long? That's where Allah ended by saying, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Allah, after difficulty, will bring ease. He will bring ease, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a ruling of talaq could be what? Mubah, in a situation like this. It could also be in mubah in a situation where the woman causes harm to the relatives of the man, or to the man himself by abuse, like we mentioned the hadith of the man who came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See, my wife is very, very abusive. She abuses anything, anybody. He says, "Talikha, divorce her." So one of the things that could make a man divorce his wife is her tongue and bad character with regards to him. That is not to say you will not follow the procedures of what you choose. You follow the procedures of the shoes, but when the shoes does not work and you cannot be patient, talaq is there for you. Talaq could also be what? Mubah. Talaq can also be makruh, that is discouraged. Talaq could be discouraged in a situation where, for example, a woman is nice to the man. She's caring. She's beautiful. She's everything you think of. She dresses well. She cleans the house. She takes care of the children. She does not abuse him. She does not demand more than he can provide. She's just there. She's a nice person. And the man just looks and says, "You, I don't want to marry again. I divorce you. This is discouraging. It's makruh." Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma divorced one of his wives. When he divorced the woman went to her and said, went to him and said, Should women be divorced even when they have nice character? Should women be divorced even when their character is nice and they are good to their husband?" He kept silent. The next day he said, "Rajiha, take her back." And he took her back. So ulama said this is evidence that when a woman is nice and good character, no complaint. It is discouraged, it is makruh for you to divorce that kind of a woman. In some situations, divorcing a woman will be haram. We have not talked about the procedure of how to divorce. We are just talking about the ruling of divorce in different circumstances. Divorcing a woman could also be haram in some situations. For example, to divorce a woman when she's menstruating, it is haram. It is haram also to divorce a woman in a state of purity when the husband has had conjugal relations with her. For example, she finishes her menstruation. If you know he wants to divorce her, when I'm taking divorce here, you know we have finished talking about new shoes, discord. So don't say, they are not even talking about settlement. This is not settlement here. Now we have talked about settlement. We are on the matter of we can't live together. How are we going to go away from ourselves? That's what we are talking about here. So don't say, they are not even talking about separate. That's not the case here. This issue is to talk about how to separate. So you don't divorce a woman after she finishes a menstruation and you have had intercourse with her. If you want to divorce her, you don't have intercourse with her. If you have intercourse with her, you don't divorce her. Until she menstruates, and then you can divorce her. In a purity in which she has not had menstruation. I hope it is clear. You don't divorce a woman in a state of menstruation. You don't divorce a woman also in a case of nifas. Nifas is postnatal bleeding. A woman has a child for you. She has been offending you, and you've been trying to solve the problem since she was pregnant. But at the time she gave birth to the baby, she was in nifas. You now say, no, let me divorce the woman. You must not divorce her when she's in nifas. So you can't divorce a woman in those circumstances. So divorce her in that circumstance is haram, is a sin. You cannot also tell a woman, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, 3 times in a single sitting. It is prohibited. This one that I have said, there are a lot of differences on it. If you say to a woman, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, 3 times, in a single instance. Some scholars say she is completely away from you. She is completely separated from you. But it is dying. The meaning is that you can't marry her again until until she has married another husband. Not in an arranged marriage. We are coming to all of this. Not in an arranged marriage. People arrange it in parts of the country. In parts of this country, they arrange such nikah. Nikah al-muhallil. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ukhbirukum bi tayf al-musta'ar. Should I not tell you about the tayf al-musta'ar? You know what a tayf is? A he-goat. Al-musta'ar. Borrowed. Should I not tell you about a borrowed he-goat? A he-goat that is borrowed. Higher. He said, huwa al-muhallilu wal-muhallila lahu. The borrowed he-goat is al-muhallil. A man who marries a woman. Has conjugal relations with her. So divorce her so that her first husband can marry her again. He's a borrowed he-goat. A tayf al-musta'ar. Umar radiallahu anhu said one of the companions said in the time of Umar, when they came to Umar, that a man married a woman to get her legal for her first husband, he used to stone them to death. That they consider it as from zina, adultery. And the nikah of a muhallil is batil. The nikah is batil. If a man marries a woman under the conspiracy of divorcing her so that she can marry her first husband, what we are saying is, if a man divorces his wife, says to his wife in a single sitting, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, 3 times, it only counts as a single divorce. But that fact of repeating it 3 times is a sin. So we are saying that the talaq should be haram. So we have 5 incidences, five rulings on talaq, besides the basic ruling of ibaha. Talaq could be wajib. Salat could be mandub, salat could be mubah, salat could be makruh, and salat could be what? Haram. The second issue is, man yutalliq, who divorces? Is it any man? Just go and tell one woman, sister, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. No, this one contradicts the text of Quran and Hadith and common sense. The first thing about that is, a husband can only divorce his wife. A husband can only divorce his wife. The evidence for that is one of the verses we had read. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu idha nakahtumul mu'minat thumma talaqtumuhunna. Oh, you who believe, if you marry women and then divorce them. Aha. So it means the one who can divorce a woman is who? The one who has married a woman. Do we understand? Idha nakahtum, when you marry, and you divorce them. Okay, if he has not married, can he divorce? Ha. So, a man that has not married a woman cannot divorce the woman. A man that has not married a woman cannot divorce a woman. A man that is not the husband of a woman cannot divorce a woman. Even if that man is the father of the man, of the husband. Do we understand? even if that man is the father of the husband, the father of the husband cannot divorce the wife of his own son. Umar radiallahu anhu told Abdullah ibn Umar to divorce his wife. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, "My father, I love her. She's nice to me." Umar said, "I say divorce her." They took the case to the Prophet Muhammad. And the Prophet said to Abdullah ibn Umar, "Ittabi abaka, follow your father." And Ibn Umar went and divorced the woman. When he divorced the woman was menstruating. Umar came back to the Prophet and said, "Look at this boy. He's divorcing the woman when the woman is making menstruation." The Prophet said, "Mur Abdullah ibn Umar fali yuraji'ha." Command Abdullah ibn Umar to take the woman back. It is Umar doing everything, radiallahu anhu. So the ulama say, rahimahumullah, that if it were permissible for Umar himself to divorce the wife, he would not have been compelling Abdullah ibn Umar that he should divorce the woman. He would have divorced the woman himself. Do we understand? In addition to what we have read, that the only people who can divorce a woman are those who have married them. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in a hadith, that la talaqa qabla nikah. There is no divorcing a woman before marriage to her. Wala ifqa qabla milking. There is no freeing a slave before owning a slave. You can't free a slave you don't own. You are not owning a slave. Can you free the slave? So if you are not having a wife, you can't divorce a woman. You can only divorce a woman that is your wife. So first point, the person that can divorce a woman is who? Her husband. Let's quickly address two issues here. It is permissible to divorce a woman by proxy, that the husband gives the authority to a man, that you, brother Brozak, go and divorce my wife. If they say, brother Brozak, yeah, I'm not saying go and divorce my wife. Oh. You know, the issues of talaq are very dangerous. Yes. It's a matter, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, talaqun jadduhunna jaddun wa haznuhunna jaddun. Three things. When you are joking regarding it is taken serious. And when you are serious about it, it is taken as what? Serious. The first one of talaq. So if you joke with your wife, Umu Suleiman, I divorce you. It is considered as divorce. You are joking. Maybe that day she cook one food for you. Maybe you ate one chicken. You think that the only thing you can now joke with is talaq. It is counted as one talaq. Jaddu fiha jaddun. Wa haznun fiha jaddun. If you are serious, it is serious. If it is joke, it is joke. You know that Sharia does not joke with talaq. The same thing marriage. You have your daughter. Your name, brother, I want to marry my daughter. I'm not marrying my daughter to you. No, he's not Abdul Razak. He tells the brother, Abdul Razak, I marry my daughter to you. And the brother is there. He wants the sister. He has married her. That's his wife. The third case is the case of a slave. You have a slave. And you tell that slave, "Come to Rama, you have become free today." Ha! She's free. Or a man, it's hard. You are no more a slave. He's free, he's no more a slave. These three things, when you are joking about them, it is seriousness. When you are serious about it, it is also what? Serious. So you don't joke with talaq. So we are saying, mentioning the class of people that can divorce. So we're saying that you can divorce in progress. You give a brother the authority to divorce your wife. That progress will act for you. So if he goes, he'll go and divorce her for you. And that was the case, the third divorce of Fatima bint Qais, occurred like that. Her husband was going on a battle. He said, "Look, go and tell Fatima I divorced her." The husband went and divorced her on behalf of the probably went and divorced her on behalf of the husband. So there are some things that will be observed in that proxy and even in the husband before the divorce can go on. So, from the things that must be observed in the husband before the divorce will be valid is that he must have akal. His senses must be there. He must not be somebody under anesthesia. He must not be somebody under drunkenness. He must not be drunk. He must have mental alertness. He knows what he's doing. He must not be a gairu baligh, a child that is not matured. You are surprised. In Islam, a young boy that is not matured can be a husband. It is there in the books of fiqh. Somebody was asking while I was here, what is the minimum age? No age for marriage. Abdullah ibn Umar had a son that he was carrying on his hand. He married a woman for that son. So vice versa can be the case. There is no age. There is nothing like early marriage in Islam. So Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen and Sheikh al-Mumti, when he discussed the divorce of a Sabi, can a little young boy divorce? He said his divorce, when a little young boy say, I divorced my wife, he said it is not valid until we can prove that that boy knows what he's saying. So he started asking the boy, what do you mean by divorce? He said, divorce means that I know she's no more my wife and I don't have any responsibility over her, neither do my parents have responsibility. And he starts making you understand that, look, I know what I'm talking about. I don't just want this woman. Sheikh Uthaymeen said, Rahimahullah, in that case, that divorce of a Sabi will be valid. So what we are saying is that somebody who is out of his senses cannot divorce validly. If a person pronounces divorce, it is not valid. A person that is not in his character, is not in himself, perhaps he took alcohol or intoxicant, he's acting under intoxication, or he ran mad, or is under anesthesia, or he got fainted, whatever would have led to mental derailment. When a man pronounces divorce to his wife in that circumstance, the divorce is invalid. The evidence for that the divorce or the words of a person that is in mental derailment is invalid in the Sharia is the hadith of a man called Ma'in. Ma'in was a man during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He committed zina. So he wanted to make tawbah. You know the legal punishment for zina? It is adultery. Such persons are to be stoned to death. But if it is fornication, they are to be given what? 100 lashes of the cane. And we are not going to pity them. We are going to do that in the public. So Ma'is came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that he did that. Radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet asked the people, Abihi junoon? Is he mad? Does he have mental derailment? Ulama say it means that his statement that he committed zina would be something that is invalid if he was under what? Mental derailment. When they said no, that he does not have junoon, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ashariba khamran? Is he drunk? Has he gotten intoxicated? They said no. It was then that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that the legal punishment for zina be taken on Ma'in. So ulama say, aha, it meant that the words of a person under drunkenness or any form of mental derailment is what? Is invalid. I hope that is clear. So a man comes and says to his wife, you are divorced. Be sure that he is not under this category before you give a verdict that she's actually divorced. Also, related to that is under anger. Anger, the ruling of anger is divided into three. Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah. He discussed this extensively. You can look at it in Zadul Ma'ad. And then Sheikh Uthaymeen also in Sheikh al-Mumti. Extensive discussion on someone who is angry when he divorces his wife. There are three levels of anger. The first level of anger is an anger that when the man is angry, he does not know what he's doing at all. This one falls in the ruling of those who have mental derailment because his senses have gone. This is the first level of anger. The second level of anger is that, yes, the man is angry, but he knows what he's doing. He knows some of what he's doing, yes, yet he is angry. If a man pronounces divorce to his wife in this circumstance, that divorce is valid. The third level of anger is that the man is so angry that he is overpowered in his senses. But if he stayed any moment, just a slight moment thereafter, he knew what he was doing. But in some cases, they say, no, he may not even be overpowered. He may still know what he's doing. But he starts regretting that action. So I feel it's like not being stable. Imam Ibn Qayyim said, what is most preponderant in that kind of a situation is that talaq is considered invalid. And he gave 25 reasons why that talaq should be considered. Not the Ghazatul Lahfan that you know that is common. This is a very small pamphlet on Talakul Gadban. So, the divorce of a man who is angry, he may know what he's doing in that anger, but the anger is so severe that as soon as he gets out of that anger, he begins to regret what he has done. It's also considered invalid. So, in the cases of anger, those whose statements of divorce is considered as valid are those who, when doing the anger, they know what they are doing, they are in their right senses, they are, everything is correct about them, and they actually gave a divorce. They are, the divorce of these people is valid in the Sharia. Also, divorcing a man, that a man divorces his wife, must not be under coercion. If a man brings a gun and puts it on a man's head, not a gun that does not have a bullet in it. Yes, I'm talking about a gun that has a bullet and a person can actually pull the trigger. Because that is when the threat will be real. You can actually pull the trigger and there's actually... So that a man can just do it, but yeah, divorce your wife. If the threat is not real, don't divorce your wife. And there is no issue of barura in that case. The harm must be real to come. So, a man has a gun on his head, pointed at him by someone who has an ability to pull the trigger. And the gun, for example, is containing bullets that can actually blow up his head. They say, oh yeah, divorce your wife. If he pronounces the statement of divorce, at that time, the statement is invalid. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said, Allah has exempted kufr from those who declare kufr in the conditions of coercion. Why then wouldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exempt divorce when a person is coerced to divorce his wife? Look at this speak of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. And that is the evidence that if a man is under compulsion, the divorce is what? Invalid, if he pronounces it. Don't now tell me that your mother called you. He said, oh yeah, divorce your wife. He says, so I divorce her. She's not compelling you. There's no compulsion in that. That's what I was saying, a gun that can actually be pulled. The trigger could be pulled by a person who can actually pull it. Some people can point a gun at you and may not be able to pull the trigger. So when the threat is real, your life is at stake, or a serious, you know, amputation could be done to you, something serious could happen to you, you are sure that it can happen. And you are being threatened by somebody who can actually be. If a young boy can come and say, Abu, oh yeah, divorce your wife. If you don't divorce her, I'll beat you. So you call her and say, oh yeah, I divorce you. There is no ikrah in that. The other evidence for that is the statement of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, all reported this hadith. That the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that la talaq wa la ataq fi iglaqin. La talaq, there is no divorce. That is, there is no valid divorce. Wa la ataq, and there is no valid freeing of a slave fi iglaq. In what? Coercion. Under coercion. There is no talaq. That is, talaq is not valid in that condition. But that condition of coercion must actually be established to be a condition of a coercion. I'm saying this because many people divorce their wives. When they finish divorcing the wife, They now start looking for ways of going back to her. So they'll be looking for all the loopholes. The brother divorced his wife here in this Lagos. So he was asking. Before that time, I personally was encouraging, don't divorce her. Hey, this, that, that, that. He didn't do it. He didn't. When he divorced her, he didn't tell me. So at the end, later, he called me. He said, sir, that the hadith of Muhallil, Atayisul Musa'a, that it is talking about men, not women. Look at from where it's coming. That it is prohibited that a man marries a woman because he wants to make her lawful for her first husband. What about if it is the woman that did it? The woman was not mentioned in the hadith. Do you understand? So he's saying, what if it is not the woman that did it? It is not the man that married or conspired with the first husband. He just, the woman now is the one, and the woman is not mentioned in the hadith. So I said to her, that innama nisa shaka ikurija. The women are the other opposite of men. So if it is prohibited for men, it is also prohibited for women. Do we understand? If it is prohibited for a man to marry a woman to justify that woman for her first husband, it is also prohibited for a woman to marry a man to justify herself for her first husband. I told him that it's not permissible. He was feeling sad. He said, ah, subhanAllah, I knew that he had problems. He wants to go back to the sister. So that's why when you are divorcing, be careful. But as much as I knew, though I didn't tell him that one, because I was waiting that he should ask me, but he didn't ask me, so I left him. If it was a divorce where he can marry her again, there are some divorces. You divorce the woman once, who come back to him. You divorce the woman once, I divorce you, she's in your house for 3 months, the period of Iddah. And at the end of the Iddah, you didn't take her back. You have only divorced her once. وَالطَّلَاقُ مَرَّتَانِ. And the talaq of Rijiyya, when you can take back your wife, is twice. So you have lost one. You still have one. The only thing is that instead of taking her back outside her permission, because if a wife is under Iddah, 3 months of the waiting period, you can take her back without her permission. You can still, in fact, some scholars say you can still be kissing her and romancing her. The only thing you can do is you can't have conjugal relations with her. Once you have conjugal relations with her, that divorce is broken. In fact, they say you can travel with her, she can dress up for you. Because the intention behind that period of 3 months is to make you be able to take her back. But if that 3 months goes off, and now you have missed her, or you divorced her when she was pregnant, and Allah has said, وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْبَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَنْ يَبَانَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. That those women that are pregnant, their period of Iddah is when they deliver the children. So you divorce your wife, for example, when she was pregnant. At the time that she delivers that baby, the Iddah has ended. Just like a woman that you divorce is not pregnant. At the end of 3 months, the Iddah has ended. Do we understand? If you want to take her back, you only need a remarriage. You need to marry her again. Meanwhile, it is 1-0 against you. So if you want to take her back, you just marry her again. But if you do that thing again, it becomes two. And if it happens again, so you see people can still go back to their wife. That she has finished her Iddah does not mean you can't go back to her. The difference between going back to her during Iddah and going back to her after Iddah is that during the Iddah, you don't have to take her permission. Even when it is still 1-0 against you. But you can go back to her without her permission. Whether she likes it or not, she's still your wife. You can go back to her, but when the Iddah is over, you can't go back to her unless you have married her. So he didn't ask me that one, because in my thinking, I think he has only divorced that sister once. He didn't ask. I would have told him that, look, you can remarry that woman. You just go and start doing it again. Assalamu alaikum, sister, I like you. Your wife before, I sorry for you. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a companion married his sister to a companion. And then that companion divorced the woman. The period of Iddah finished. It's a very painful thing to parents. So don't think it's so easy to go back and marry her again. Some parents will say, you have divorced our daughter. And if you finish, you didn't marry her, forget about her. Go and look for your own in the front. You know, you're about to say, what's your logic? So this companion did not like it too. But the other companion that divorced the woman was now interested in her again. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined it, the woman also now wanted to also return to her first husband. But, and this is the point I want to make here. The woman had had other two suitors that are coming to ask to marry her. So that's what I want to say. If you marry your wife, you divorce her, the period of fitna finishes, you don't go back to her, you start contesting too. So if you see a brother there, don't say, hey brother, you are bad brother. You are the one that don't. No. Because in some situations, some brothers are just waiting for you. Once you divorce her and the idiot, they'll be asking you to count it, wallahi. Once the end has finished, the following day, they are there. Sister Shakira, I've been looking at you since. So, you can actually go back to your wife, inshallah. We'll come back to this point later. What we are just trying to say is, no shortcut on the matters of nikah. And now we know who can talak. We know who can talak, who can give a talak, and who can't give a talak. In what circumstance can you give a talak to a woman? And in all of this. Now we discuss one more matter before we go, inshallah. And that is the issue of tiyagut talak. The wordings of talak. Is it just any statement that is valid as talak? Is it just anything you say to a woman, your wife? Don't forget, you can't give talak to a woman except your wife. And we talked about the proxy. All of what we have said about the husband too is applicable to that proxy. The proxy, that is the person that is sent by the husband to divorce his wife on his behalf, that proxy must not give the divorce to that woman when he is mentally deranged, when he is drunk, when he is annoyed, and as we have mentioned, when he is joking, if he gives it when he is joking, it is valid. So the case of the proxy is as the case of the husband who has sent the proxy. Siyagu talak, al-fazu talak, the words of talak are divided into two. That is, the statement that when you mention it to a woman, she talak is counted. They are divided into two. They are what they refer to as siyagu talak as-sariha. What expressions of divorce, that is what clear-cut expressions of divorce, and siga to talak al kinaya or kinaya. The siga of talak, that is what figurative. It is figurative because we combat it. Sariha, it's like he's saying talaktuki, I divorce you. So he said, and that's what Allah used in many places in the Quran. Iza talaktumun nisa, talliku hunna li iddatihinna. Talik. So this is clear. In the Arabic lexicon, when you tell a woman, when a man tells his wife, talaktuki, he does not have any other meaning. What is the meaning of sariha? A word that is clear cut on a matter, you can't give it another meaning. And by that, it is different from the one that is what? Kinaya, figurative. It can mean talak, and it can mean other than talak. Let me give you an example. Ilhaki bi ahliki. Go back to your family. Go to your family or go back to your family could mean divorce. And it may mean maybe she was there for some holiday, she came to you and you told her to go back to her family. Do we understand? If haki, go to your family or go back to your family, it could mean divorce. It's not clear cut that you mean divorce. It could mean divorce, and it could mean other than divorce. In the hadith of Ka'b al-Malik, we know the story of Ghazwat al-Tabuk, that some companions, Khulif, stayed behind. They didn't attend the Battle of Tabuk. From them is Ka'b ibn Malik, al-Ansari, radiyallahu anhu. So this companion, The Prophet ﷺ told the Muslims to boycott them. We remember that story for a long period of 50 days or thereabouts. From the boycott is that even their wives, they cannot have intercourse with their wives. The Prophet prohibited that their wives, they should have intercourse with them. So when Ka'b bin Malik saw his wife, he said to her, Ilhaki bi ahliki, go to your family. He did not mean divorce. But there is a woman called Ibnatu Jun. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. A woman married, the Prophet ﷺ married a woman called Ibnatu Jun. When the Prophet drew her near to have conjugal relations with her, she said, A'udhu billahi mink. I ask Allah's refuge from you. The Prophet said, Ilhaki bi ahliki. Aqad ursi bil azim. Go back to your family. You have sought refuge in the one that is great. The Prophet meant by that what? Talaq. The Prophet divorced her by still saying that statement that Ka'b bin Malik made. It only meant that she should go and spend the period of boycott in their family's house. When the Prophet ﷺ employed it talking to Ibnatu Jun, he meant what? Divorce. So this statement, Ilhaki bi ahliki, will be considered by the scholars of fiqh to be what? Expression of divorce, that is what? Only a kinaya, figurative. Because it could mean divorce and it could mean other than divorce. What is the implication of saying all this? The implication of saying all this is that if it is a sariha, one that is a clear cut, that time you make it, the divorce is valid. But if it is a kinaya, that time you made it, you will be asked, Ustaz, what do you mean by that statement? Oh yeah, Maloleyi. Oh, let me say this too. You can be wondering that must it be in Arabic? It must not be in Arabic. And Imam Ibn Qudamah al-Muqtasi, rahimahullah, and al-Mughni, he discussed that it must not be in Arabic. It can be in any language. So in our language too, if you look at it, Mokoe, I divorce you in Yoruba language, or in Hausa, Nase Keki, I've divorced you, does not mean any other than divorce. Even when I know that Keki, Kekeni, could mean give me a loan. But they usually use the word kaleni. That's Lehan. They usually use the word kaleni, that is, leave me alone. But they could use the word kema, kaleniko. They could use the word kaleni to mean leave me alone. They could also use the word sekeni. I've heard it from house children playing. You know, if you want to learn a language, go and see when children play, you'll be hearing something. You say, I will say, kala sekeni. That is, please leave me alone. And you could also hear Dalla Kaleni, that is, leave me alone also. So it means Sekeni could mean a figurative expression of divorce in Hausa language. But you people will say, Malolein, ya Malolein, you go to your house. It could mean divorce, and it could mean other than divorce. Maybe go to your house until my anger is subsided. Maybe you go to your house, go and eat chicken there. Yeah. Maybe you go to your house, go and sing. So the implication of knowing which expression of divorce you have employed is to be able to ascertain whether, if it is clear-cut, that one, there's no need for bayan. But if it is not a clear-cut expression of divorce, then you will need to make it clear that Ustaz, please, what do you mean? Oh, Afa, please, what do you mean? We'll stop here. It's a nice place to stop. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.